true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Hold on, let me hit record everywhere and we'll just start talking.
We're just talking about tech phobia and like the how I have a lot of it and how the thing of it is like when you're describing what you did to solve my sound problem, it sounds very simple. Just Google da-da-da and then just see what it says. Something happens in my nervous system that goes like, I can't, I don't know what to, oh God, ah! And I'm like really good at managing my nervous system and calming down and taking control of my energy. But around this, it's just like I become my grandfather.
Well, I have to admit though, when I, you know, well, I just Google it. No, I don't just Google. I Google it and then my brain has the, my brain works differently.
Yeah.
And I can scan through a bunch of listings in my, and just go, nah. Ooh, let me look at that one. What about this one? Let me look. Yeah, let me try that. So like I have that sorting hat ability. Like my brain works visually and can like, it's kind of like swiping left and right. I can like keep swiping and make quick snap. But what I can't do is sit in a field and hold an emotional thought for a long length of time until it transforms into the light. I mean, like that is terrifying to me. Like, oh, the tedium.
But I like that it happens in a field. That's the best part.
I didn't mean like sit in a field. I meant sit in the field, like
the Garfield field.
But it's true.
That's hilarious. Oh, I miss the Garfield Oracle thing. That was fun. As soon as you said, like, God, fuck you, Siri. Fuck off. How am I going to turn her off? What do I do? She needs to die a slow death, a fast death. Should I Google die a slow death, Siri?
Siri. Well, you keep saying her name. Now, probably you need to just disable Siri on your laptop because you never want to use her on your laptop.
I never do. Do you know how to do that?
I could Google it real quick and tell you and probably scan like disable.
Please do. For the listener, just while he's doing that, before we started officially recording, we were talking about me having tech phobia because we couldn't get my microphone set in the right place. And I always have this problem. It's very dumb because we do it all the time and I shouldn't have the problem anymore, but I always have the problem. And it's like we were talking about tech phobia and how I cannot get on the internet and just solve a problem. And Cassidy's like, I can. And it's like, thank God, different people have different skills.
Here's the one extra piece of that puzzle, though. I was just helping my housemate through a similar thing. And I realized, though, if you just Google it, you're going to get 1,000 answers. And half of them might be additional, either selling you their product or just downloading something that will do the same that's another virus or whatever. So like when it comes to like, if they're ever saying like, you know, use this Mac Clean product, then stop, don't do that.
No, I know that.
I know, I'm just saying. And then you have to go on like Facebook and crowdsource it because then you need somebody, you need to say like, hey, people who actually know this that I trust in a human form, which Mac Clean product should I use? Or which should I use? Or you call Apple Care because you are on the Mac and they do that.
Here's my thing. When I get on to the Google, like my grandfather, I see all the options in front of me, right? The overwhelm is too much to manage.
Sure.
B, I go, okay, that's a lie. And then I start to go, none of this is actually the thing I'm looking for.
No.
Right? So then I just give up and quit, but you somehow can like persevere.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, often. But I also completely commiserate because I have absolutely gone through, I have a problem on my computer that nobody can fix.
Yeah.
Every time I update, it's stupid. But every time I do any kind of major update of drivers, if I update a particular driver, my touchpad stops working. And I've gone to warranty care. So I'll go to Lenovo and they'll like walk through all the things that they got to do. And they literally can't fix it. And they'll tell me like, oh, you just need to update your driver. I'm like, no, that's literally the problem. And then I'll then they'll say, okay, so go to the thing, and I'll look at the thing, and I'll be like, it's not there. Like, but it has to be there. I'm like, that's the problem. It deletes itself when I update. And then they're just like, then they tell me to do something and it doesn't work. And I end up rolling back the update and walking away.
100%. This is why technology is going to kill all of us. Just from frustration.
Right. And it's an individual problem in that case. It's one that doesn't fit any of their boxes.
Right. And they never believe you when it's one that doesn't fit their boxes. They're always like, no, but you just have to. And then when they came over, they'd be like, oh, I've never seen this. That's the other layer that's hard, is the arrogance around it, where they're like, you could hear the eye roll behind what they're saying. And it's like, fuck off.
And sometimes their eye roll is right, too. You're like, I know.
And to their credit, I am the queen of what's it called? IT syndrome. What's it called? Where it's like someone is at a job and the thing doesn't work. And as soon as you call IT and they come over, it works.
Of course. It's taking your car to the mechanic. Welcome to Tech Talk with Cass and Katie. This episode is entirely devoted to tech worlds and how shitty it is.
To annoying details in tech land, not even interesting ones.
Can we also just take a moment and acknowledge that we live in Star Trek? Like, it is crazy the shit we hold in our hands and beam to our TV and swipe on our iPad and just go, yeah, I have that. That's a thing I have now.
I mean, it happens to me every time I think about, like, remember, like, if you think about, like, in the 1990s, when you were, like, dating people in high school and you had to figure out how to get to the roller skating rink.
I'm going to subtract 10 years because I'm 10 years older than you, but, you know, that's cool.
Fantastic. Middle school. In the 80s.
I wasn't dating, but cool.
And you had to get to the skating rink to meet a friend.
Yeah.
I literally have no idea how we did it.
Right. How you, even in college, how you were like, let's meet at X place at X time. And then between leaving the house and meeting in X place, there was no way of reconnecting.
Nothing.
None. Zero.
What are you going to do? Pull over and talk in a payphone? To what?
To what? Where are they?
Who are you calling?
They're nowhere.
You're calling Judy's Cafe and asking a waiter to find you at them?
If they're even there yet.
And yet, somehow people met at places.
Yeah.
How did we do it? How did we do it?
We also had different expectations of what we would get in response to things. So we were probably more patient in terms of like dating took longer, or example. Like, you didn't go, why haven't they called me back? You did that 3 days later. You didn't do that within 24 hours.
I don't know. I think I always did that. I just, there was even less rationale for it. I mean, I had...
I just left them that message. Why haven't they called me back within 10 minutes on their answering machine?
Yeah. Anxious attachment was a thing even before the 1950s when we didn't have any of this shit. So if you have anxious attachment, like if you weren't in a healthy holding environment as a child, you're going to feel 30 seconds after sending anything, why I'm alone and they hate me and I feel anxious and why aren't they writing back?
And now let's take it back to like the Bronte era, you know, or whatever. And now we're like, we're
writing letters.
Writing letters.
With a quill on a sheet of leather that you have to cut off the cow. With your hands.
That sounds awful. You're just carving out squares of leather from a living cow. And he's just like, ow, there's a hole in my side now.
That's how people communicated.
That's how it worked? Is that
Cassidy,
true?
Cassidy, yes.
I thought so.
I'm a historian of nothing.
Can
we talk about, the listener should know, you have shaved.
I have a shaven face. It is a shove.
You're shorn.
And I'm haircutted. I'm getting new headshots on Thursday.
You're doing them without the face hair.
That was the instruction from the new agent.
Interesting.
That was the suggestion. Here it was. They were like, if you were doing like a lot of film work and stuff, then that would be probably your type and your character and you'd keep it on. But for general use and like commercial specifically, it's rare that they're gonna want it. So
really?
Yeah.
But you have like a cute dad vibe with your beard.
Well, I can always grow it.
Yeah.
She said they're not very imaginative. They can't imagine you without a beard.
But why would they want to if you're super cute with the beard?
Well, then that's all I'm ever going to do.
Cute dads?
with beards specifically.
What is this open? What doors specifically?
I don't know.
This
was what. Thanks for making me doubt my choices, but this was. I'll be honest. I actually was thinking going into this. I was like, I wanted her to tell me, yeah, you should shave your beard.
Oh,
because I was like, part of it is sort of like a relaunch of self. Like,
I hear
just,
that.
Just kind of shake it up, and
yeah,
she was pretty. She was like, oh, it looks great, but yeah, you should lose the beard. Like, there wasn't a lot of, like, she wasn't, I didn't ask her, should I lose the beard? I kind of let it, you know, let her have her unadulterated opinion. And it was pretty easy and quick for her to be like, oh, absolutely.
It doesn't mean she's right.
Who knows who's right?
We'll find out.
Right.
No, I'm just saying, of course not. Nobody knows anything about
anything.
Let's see.
I wasn't getting any work before. So if I get any work at all, then she's right.
Right.
If I get no work, I won't know if she's right.
Fair enough.
I'll know it's not the face. It's the shitty lack of talent.
That's what it's always been.
Yeah. Pretty clear.
No, definitely not. Cool. All right. I thought the audience should know you're shorn because it's a fun thing to know.
Mm-hmm.
I am... What else can I say? What is it about me? What are we updating about me? I'm heavier than I've ever been. Don't feel great about it. My face is aging every millisecond that I'm alive. I have like filters and shit right now with lights and angles and things. So you could tell less than reality is telling.
On the Zoom call, Katie has actually put an avatar of an otter over her face. So that's what I'm looking at.
Very much not what's happening, but it should be. I'm close to that. I wish I could put an avatar over my face in life.
Right? Can we just walk around? You could be a furry and just walk around and
with a mask and an outfit head to toe. Yeah, it's really tough, like particularly with dating. Like if I weren't going on dates, I think I wouldn't. I'd just be like, you know, people age. Everybody back off.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Now Cassidy is a fox with a hoodie on.
Yep, that is true.
I don't know. All right, I'm going to change mine. If you're doing that, fuck if I can figure out how to do it.
This is going to go well.
Oh,
welcome
boy.
To Katie's Tech Challenges.
Choose
avatar.
Oh, I bet I can do it, maybe.
You might have to download them, though, if you haven't done it before.
What about this? Oh!
Yeah, those are filters, but then you can also...
I did it.
Can you choose an avatar?
Oh, avatar. Wait, let's get rid of the hat. I put a party hat on. We don't need it. There we go.
Oh, filters. Nice.
Okay, that one. Now we're going to go avatar. I'm going to be this bitch.
This is great content we're giving them.
Yep. Selecting an avatar. That's super interesting. Hi.
Oh, hey, what's up? Oh.
I'm just a little innocent bunny rabbit. Who are you?
Also in a hoodie. You're the hoodie bunny rabbit. I'm the hoodie fox.
Hi. Yeah. Look at my tongue. Ah.
Okay.
Hi.
This is weird.
Wah, wah, wah.
Okay. Let's undo this so that we can focus.
Okay. Okay.
We'll see if that stays in.
Turn off avatar. All right. But you know what I mean about dating? Because like if I weren't like out there in the field, I feel like I'm just like, you know, people age. Everybody take a breath. But it's because it's like, oh, you're going to look directly at my ass. And all of its pockmarks and fucking wrinkly ass cellulite ridden nastiness.
Mm-hmm.
Now I gotta give a fuck.
Mm.
I don't wanna have to give a fuck, but I'm just saying. So, like, you know, when somebody's staring at your ass, you're aware of what your ass looks like a little bit.
Sure.
I used to be able to tune it out really well because I knew that, like, baseline, it was okay. And there would be people for whom it was their thing. Now, I feel like there's nobody for whom that's their thing, even though that's not turning out. I mean, behavioral anecdotal evidence would suggest some humans still want to put it to me.
Yeah, I think that's going to be indisputable continually. But I understand also the difference between what my self and ego and thing. I mean, I get told all the time just how damn sexy I am by Denise, but I also look at myself and I go, what? No.
Yep. Yep.
And the two are kind of separate paths.
You know what's hard too is when you say to someone you're dating, you go, You know, being naked in front of you a lot makes me feel like I should really get in shape. It's like I'm kind of motivated to like lose these extra pounds. And they go, rock on.
you want them to go, no, I love you just the way you are. Everything is perfect.
Yeah. End of story. I can say this. I'll say this thing. I learned about New Jersey.
Okay.
This weekend. Here's what I'll tell
you. Did you go up to Red Bank Hook? Red Hook Bank?
No. Oh, but you know what? I'm going to the Hook of Banky Redness the 17th to see Rami's show.
I'm so jealous. I'm so...
Come out.
I can't.
Uh-oh. You have right. like a job.
It's I have a done. Job. I'm directing a show. I literally have to be there every minute.
Except when the show opens and you're like, free, bitch.
Right.
Free. I'm out.
That's exactly. We literally open when they close. Ugh.
I was just saying to someone yesterday how much I love directing for that reason. It's like you're in all the fun parts. Let's figure out these problems and solve them. And then you get to go fucking home. And they all have to like do the thing over and over again. Ugh.
Wow. That is so the opposite of what I want. But
I hear you.
That being said, here's what I have noticed. And I want to then hear about New Jersey. I am loving directing.
Oh, yay.
I think I'm good at it. And
yay.
I am not having, I wish that was me.
Wow.
Which is the thing I was fearing.
Yes.
I am having, yes, let's solve this. Oh, I can fucking work with you to solve this. Yes. Like that, I am loving.
Oh my God. Rock on. That's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's like, oh, I actually like directing. I could keep doing some of this more.
Bro.
Yeah. So.
Good for you. That's big.
And we're such a fucking team. I love my cast. And we're just so like fucking bonded already. Like,
wow.
I think everyone's just on the same page. Like, there's just like, yes, let's keep working together.
Aww.
It's really great. It's really nice. Yeah.
Wow. That's so nice. I love that.
Yeah. We had a thing happen where we had to kind of like hash something out. It wasn't between us. It was more about like a production issue. And like there was like, you know, real emotions and stuff. But it was like everybody was advocating for the group instead of for their own individual needs. Or someone else was like, oh, no, we need to do this as a group. Like this, it's not fair for you to have to talk about this from your point of view.
Mm.
So what do we think as a group?
And
wow. That was really like, oh, I was like,
oh,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was cool.
I'm stoked for you.
Yeah. Anyway, New Jersey, why? What?
Why?
Why? That's usually the question. New Jersey, why?
Why? I'll start by saying this. I wanted New Jersey to surprise me and I wanted to be wrong about my preconceived notions about most of New Jersey.
Okay.
I was partially satisfied. Okay. My friend who I met up with lives in a part of New Jersey that was fully unexpected, stunning and gorgeous. It was like walking into the most fecund jungle of delights.
Good word.
Thank you.
Fecund.
Fecund.
Here's the thing. I have to constantly remind myself that New Jersey is a state.
Right.
And not just a place. Jersey.
Right. It's not the shore only.
Right. It's not just like one shitty city full of douchebags. It's an entire state.
Yeah. It's also a very magically weird state out here in that you'll be in Philadelphia and you turn a corner and whoops, you're in New Jersey. You'll be in upstate New York. You turn a corner. Oh, now you're in New Jersey. You'll be in Connecticut.
Does it like snake around and like
yes,
grab
yes.
edges of other things?
Yes. 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 All the time I find myself accidentally. I'm like, I'm going to Vermont, but I'm in New Jersey. How did this happen? All the time. You're passing through New Jersey. It's so weird. It's really weird. If you look at a map, you'll see, oh, it does. It wraps around all. It's weird.
Okay.
Okay. So there's that. Where he lives is in this like, he lives in a cabin in the woods and there's like everything is a lake and a pond and a boat and a pontoon and the lush greenery. Stunning. Beautiful hibiscus plants and hummingbirds. It was like really, truly like a very beautiful place to be. And I was like, oh, this is why they call it the Garden State.
Right.
Which I forgot.
Which is hilarious because we think of New Jersey as a shitty city full of douchebags. And when we see Garden State, we all chuckle to ourselves. I'm totally saying we for me.
Yes. No, I'm with you. Now, that was like stunning and surprising. And I was like, look at New Jersey not being a stereotype of itself. But then, we went to the Jersey Shore to the beach house. And to be fair, it was not the Jersey Shore worst nightmare you might expect because it wasn't like the party part of it. It was more the family part of it. It was like not boardwalks and dance clubs. It was like homes and people. But somehow it managed to make what is clearly an upscale beach town feel really weirdly trashy. In other words, here's how. It'd be like a $4 million house. Next to that, a $2 million house. Next to that, a half-burned-down McDonald's that they never bothered to clear the debris from. Next to that, like just an empty dumpster with a dead raccoon in it. Next to that, a $5 million house. And I'm like, what is happening right now? So it was just like... I'm also very, very spoiled and very, very snobby in the sense that I know I come from like Miami beach towns and California beach towns, which are fancy, period.
Or if they're not, if they're more funky, they're funky, not trashy.
That's right. Right. Like any NorCal beach town that's funky, it's like, ooh, artists are here and they make art out of the wood from the beach and it's for sale in a cute, funky store.
Right.
Not... this McDonald's got burned down in a street fight between two angry New Yorkers who got in trouble because they're not from New Jersey and somebody was mad about it. There was a lot of dudes with baseball caps backwards and a lot of football in the street and a lot of like, hey!
Were there a lot of sunglasses being worn on the back of the head?
I mean, there may as well have been.
Because that one gets me.
It's so bad. It was a lot of Jersey, man, a lot of tank tops. I'll put it like this. This is fucked up. I hope he never hears this. I've actually never felt that way before.
Then you better not say it. Oh, you've already said it?
No, I mean, like, all of this feels sort of like shitty to someone who, like, is born and raised in Jersey and loves it.
Right.
But I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I feel like in life, general life, I'm like a 6.5 of attractive. That's where I am on the scale of 1 to 10. 10 is like a model. I'm like doing pretty great. On a bad day, I feel like, oh man, I'm down in the 4.9s, the 5.5s. I'm having a rough time. In New Jersey, I'm a 10, bitch.
Wow.
10 out of 10.
Wow.
But only that part of New Jersey.
Huh.
The shore part.
Right.
Now, I'm not actually a 10 out of 10 at all. But compared to what's going on...
It's just...
Here's what it looks like. A lot of hard living. A lot of cigarettes and a lot of beer and a lot of sun.
Yeah.
And everybody's huge and mad.
Yeah.
And just, they've been hard living.
Yeah.
And I'm not hot or something. I don't see myself that way. So for me to think I'm a 10 out of 10, I don't actually think that. But that's what I mean. I was like, everybody, what? I thought I was like a frumpy mess. Then I got to Jersey and I was like, I'm doing okay.
Not your aesthetic, let's just say, to be politic. These folks did not fit your aesthetic in terms of what you visually are pleased by. I'm being real politic. I'm full of shit. I get it.
I'm not referring to the people I was hanging out with. I'm referring to like the landscape of the general populace.
For sure.
I think I was just amazed by, I'm really overstating it to make a silly point, but I was really amazed by like, there really is a thing about the Jersey Shore. There really is like, a type of person that's there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get there and be like, that was a total lie and a stereotype. There's nobody there who's like that. Or like five people are like that, but not everybody.
No.
Everybody.
Well, I do think that there is something to be said for like your description of like $5 million house, burnt out McDonald's is that honestly made me think of like our former asshole in chief, Trump. And just how like claims money like is that he's rolling in dough and that he buys the best things. But literally those best things are either incredibly tacky, like glitz tacky, or actually not even nice. Like his suit, this man could have had the most perfectly tailored suit put upon him every day.
Right.
If he chose to. For his body can be whatever his body is. It's whatever. It's not my jam. He looks like a bag of lizards, but but whatever, you can still dress that body, right?
Of course.
But he doesn't.
Right.
Because he thinks, oh, if I spend $1,000 on this tie because of the label, that's me being looking good, but not because the actual tie looks good.
Right.
And so there's something about a way in which people use money that is so different to how I would, if I were going to like put money and aesthetic together.
Yeah.
I would make choices that felt better. And there are people who have lots of money and then like look into my eyes like terrible, but they're on their fucking boat, you know?
No, totally.
Right. So they look ungood. They look trashy on their $500,000 yacht.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, and
that's,
no.
That's a whole other dynamic. Yeah. And look, let's be real. Let me own my own privilege and judgments. I just have judgments. They're my judgments based on, you know, 20 years in California and a certain kind of, I mean, whatever, who the fuck am I? But my point of view is coming from my weird life. I was surprised by how much of a thing it was. I'll say one more thing about it. I went to the nicest, I like Googled and researched and drove around to find the nicest like breakfast place to get an espresso. I wanted to just like leave the house for a minute and get an espresso. And oh, my little dog, your body's all hot. She was sitting in the sun. Who's my hot dog? And I found it, and I actually like comparison shopped accidentally. I didn't mean to. I went to three different places and I was like, oh, this is the fancy one. Okay, here we are. I go inside. How am I going to explain? Even the highest brow, fanciest breakfast spot was trashy. It's kind of trashy. In other words, like, you ever watch The Sopranos?
Yeah.
You know how like the mafia guys always like just what you're describing. They buy some expensive tie to go to somebody's funeral, but it's like a shitty tie from Marshalls. You know?
Yeah.
They're all dressed up and spending a lot of money, but somehow it's all like they bought it out of the back of somebody's car.
Yeah. It's still not good.
No.
There's something missing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Now we've shat talked Jersey so much. To round it out, my first experience here was really lovely and surprising in the jungle part. And then the beach part was like a little bit like, oh boy, okay, this is Jersey being what I thought Jersey was. Now we have Rami having the experience of, I have no idea what Red Bank is actually like. Maybe it'll be like a whole, I have this idea that it's like Brooklyn, like hip and edgy and city vibes.
Yeah, I haven't actually gotten a sense of what the town itself is.
Me either. But also you have things like Hoboken, where I've been, which is basically like Manhattan. It's like a Brooklyn-y, Manhattan-y vibe.
Okay.
Totally different from any of the things I've just described. And I want to be clear, none of these things, nobody's better than anybody. Nobody's right. It's just, it's very like, I so wanted all my judgments of Jersey to not be things. I wanted to get there and be like, everybody made all that up. They didn't.
No. Well, we get our ideas from somewhere.
Right. Stereotypes are stereotypes because they...
Somebody did it once.
Yeah, because they sometimes occur...
Or twice, or three times. And then we get the reiteration of the... I wonder how much, like, cart horse there is. Then you have a show like Jersey Shore.
Right.
And then, even though we're laughing... Some of us are going, ha-ha, and pointing from our judgy fucking place at how, quote, trashy these people are. But also that then also becomes a model for behavior.
Right.
For then other people to be like, yeah, I'm from Jersey, so this is how I act. And this is how I present.
No, totally. And that's why I wanted it to be wrong. Because I wanted to go, we have all been in a judgmental stance based on cultural programming. Nah.
Right. Well, but that culture then reprogrammed that thing to continue to occur. Shit.
Or the other option.
We're assholes?
That's clear. We're clearly assholes. But everybody's just a different kind of asshole, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, we're snobby, elite West Coast assholes. And Jersey Shore people are like, hey, I'm going to kill you in the street if you make me mad, assholes.
Right.
Like, what's the difference? Everybody's a different kind of asshole.
Right.
Right?
It's just how you wield that assholery is really
assholery.
Well, we wield it by just shit talking an entire state on our wide reaching podcast.
I didn't shit talk the entire state, just that portion of it.
That's true.
And also, let's also say that beach was stunning.
Interesting.
The weather, I may as well have been in Miami. It was warm as fuck, but not too hot. Blue skies the whole goddamn time. I mean, beautiful. We sat there and just took the sun in and we jet skied, which was really, you know.
It's your favorite thing in the world. Speaking of trashy, I feel like jet ski is a trashy action.
Oh, yeah. It's my most trashy favorite thing to do in the world. That was great. You know, great things occurred as well. And that place had beautiful things about it that were wonderful, including, I will acknowledge this too, like a real sense of family value. Like people really clearly go there with their people to do their thing. And there's a real like sense of family pride and connection to family. Like that was in the air everywhere.
Nice.
Which was really nice to see. And something I don't have a ton of, as you know, reference for. So it's always like sweet to me and refreshing to see people who are like, yeah, we're related to each other and we want to hang out with each other. I'm like, you do? That's amazing. Look at you being happy where I stand on my elite liberal pedestal and point at you.
And then stay the fuck away from your family as much as you possibly can.
Exactly.
So how's that working out for you?
Pretty well.
Good. That's actually fine. Good. Yeah. I think you've created a reality for yourself that is.
Yeah, I'm happy about that.
Pretty good.
I mean, I don't stay away from my dad's side entirely.
That's true.
But a lot because I choose to because it's better for me.
Yeah.
Not because, that's not about like entitlement or elitism. That's just about like health and sanity. Some people are lucky. That's my whole point. Like, who cares if your town is, if I come on my pedestal and judge your town as trashy? You have like love and family and connection and a beach house. What do I fucking have? A dog.
Yeah.
That kind of likes me, but is mostly irritated by me. So anyway, that happened. I also was on a boat this Memorial Day weekend in a lake in Connecticut that was very Connecticut-y, which was the opposite of Jersey Shore vibes. Like,
were there like boat shoes and sweaters over polos draped over your shoulder?
Houses that look like people who wear that shit live in there.
Right. Lots of cream colors and powder blues and
beautiful houses around a huge lake. Stunning, stunning, beautiful, stunning. And my dear friend from my building took me out on their family pontoon. And there were all these boats and the weather was perfect. And it was very Memorial Day-y. What did you do for the Memorial Day weekend? TV. Nothing. Jerked off. What?
That was yesterday. Got a haircut and then tried to pick out clothes for my headshot. Kind of like three outfit looks. And then I had to go to the store and actually buy a nice dress shirt. And this was that. Speaking of like spending money to actually invest in something nice, I am the Ross guy. I just shop at Ross and like, oh, that'll do. That'll do.
Oh, yeah.
I put together outfits that when you look a little closer, you're like, that's kind of shitty. It's going to fray. Like everything I own is several years old because I buy it secondhand or at Ross. And then it was like, why don't you go ahead and go to, not even to like Macy's, but just like Men's Warehouse and buy a pretty damn good dress shirt.
Yeah.
You know, spend $50 on a shirt instead of 18, you know?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah. Why not? Live your life.
Actually get measured and realize that you're now a 16 collar, not at a 15 and a half, you know, things like that. So I did that.
That's nice.
Bought a couple of shirts. I'll probably return one of them because I don't think I'm ever going to use it. But the other one's good. And picked out some outfits and getting ready for my headshots on Thursday.
That's nice. So that was Monday. You did that.
Yep. That was yesterday.
What about the weekend? Did you guys do anything like festive?
I had rehearsal Saturday and Sunday. So didn't do anything. Yeah. I didn't really acknowledge Memorial Day at all this year. Like no parties. Oh, I went to a friend's 40th birthday gathering, which had karaoke, and which this can lead me to another conversation about social anxiety that I had a realization of over the weekend.
Let's do it.
All right. So I went to my friend's 40th, but she was doing a series of things over the weekend, and I could only go to one of them. And unfortunately, the one that I could go to was at an indoor bar karaoke situation, and I was like, I'm not really down with that yet right now. I cannot get sick right now. I can't get infected with COVID because then it'll fuck me for the show. I'm not scared about getting it now. I'm just process wise, like timing. It's like, okay, if I get infected, then I have to take these many days off rehearsal and then I can't direct the show and nobody can. So, you know, I'm being, anyway, so I went and I wore my mask most of the time. You know, I did sing and I took my mask off to sing and like wipe down the microphone and stuff and then put it back on. And I'm sure I was fine, but I also realized like there was this twice in the last week, I've been at a thing where I was like, I'm going to leave while I'm still happy.
Mm.
That was the thing I noted, like that was the idea that popped into my head. I can feel this going away. This good feeling is heading south.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave now.
What was it headed? Why?
Because I start to get claustrophobic.
Okay.
And not just the, well, the indoor part was the claustrophobia, but then just even the social anxiety. Like, okay, so that I realized that I actually have often had, okay, I'm done with people. I can't be around people.
Yep.
And then I had been meaning to listen to an episode of Molina's podcast because I had seen the sort of topic and she's also been sort of posting about this idea on Facebook. The short version is she posted something about social anxiety and she's this very, you know, I tell everybody everything person. And so she posted something kind of casual, but then someone with a little like a laughing emoji wrote, yeah, I'm not seeing the social anxiety as a comment.
Yeah.
And that triggered the fuck out of her.
Because
basically someone said, what you're feeling, what you're saying you are feeling is not true because of what I see.
Right.
And it was really triggering for her. And she spent a whole episode of her podcast just talking about this idea of like telling, like you don't get to determine what it is that is going on in my heart and soul. And also to invalidate is really shitty, like really shitty to do.
Totally.
And I found myself driving while listening to this podcast and like crying. And I was like, why is that landing on me so heavy? And I was like, oh yeah. I hate it when people say, well, you're an extrovert. So ... A, am I? B, you know, I think I am. But I definitely have anxiety going into social situations. And I sometimes it's going into them and sometimes it's just a time thing where it's like a tick, 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 boom, I'm done. I gotta go. But just admitting that to myself was really big.
Yeah.
And I think it was like the way she talked about the podcast really helped me. All That and Mo is her podcast and you should go listen to it. It's great. It was really like freeing to me and it gave me permission to like note that behavior. And like I've even done it, you know, like I realize, I think like Denise often will say something about, well, you're an extrovert and that da 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 because you're so comfortable in social situations and da 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 da. And I'm like, wait a minute. No. Let me push back on that because I need to have my truth be mine and not your description of my truth.
Totally. Yep.
So that was big. It was big. It actually was a big thing for me.
Rock on.
I don't know how else to say it. I just noticed a thing that was like, oh, fuck. And that's because of someone's podcast. I'm talking about their experience. So that was really useful to also note.
That's really cool. And the thing specifically was, I too have social anxiety sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that. I so get that. Totally, totally, 1,000,000%.
And it has nothing to do with my skill as a social social beast.
I relate to that.
My outward, my tap dance, put on a show self.
Yep, I know. I had the same thing happen. I had to say goodbye to some people. Okay, let's just say this thing. This beach house was me and this person I'm dating, his mother and her boyfriend, who is new to him. The boyfriend and the son of the mother have never met before. Okay. Oh my God. And like, so when I had to leave, like the amount of like, oh God, I don't want to have to say goodbye. Oh, it's great meeting you. Oh, how is a hug, kiss? I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So, but then, and I'm telling him, oh God, here we go. I have to sit. We have to do goodbyes, don't we? He's like, yeah, but it'll be fast. Don't worry. And we get out there. I nailed those goodbyes. Nailed them. I'm so good at it. I know just what to say, how to make everybody feel good. Hug and da 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 boo. I hated it. I hated every second of it. So just because you're good at it doesn't mean, or can pull it off, doesn't mean you fucking like it.
Yeah. Or they can all, I can both like it and be pained by it at the same time too. Like
that too.
Yeah. Like I love, a social situation and I am sometimes absolutely just destroyed by them and can be miserable. And I think it's just, I feel like so many of my responses to so many people's behaviors, it just makes me want to have compassion for just about any behavior.
Like totally. Even
full assholery. I just kind of like, oh God, what in the fuck is going on for you right now? How difficult is whatever's going on in your soul right now?
Absolutely. I mean, it's my way of saying that would be like everybody's defenses are masking vulnerability and fear.
Mm-hmm.
Every single human has defenses to survive. So whatever defenses are rubbing me the wrong way in the moment are protecting that individual or trying to protect that individual from a vulnerability they don't feel like they can be with in that moment. That, or you become the weirdo like me who's constantly naming the exact vulnerability that's happening in the moment because I feel like I have no defenses left.
Right.
I just go like, oh gosh, this is scary. Or, ah, oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm going to go home. Or I'm really tired. Good night. Like I just name it and handle it. But that's really weird socially. People don't
know what to do with that.
Sometimes. Yeah.
I mean, actually, I uttered that phrase that I said earlier. I'm going to leave while I'm still happy. Both times. I can't remember what the previous one was, where I was when I said it, but it was very recent too. And I got a funny look and then kind of a, like, it would be like, what?
Oh yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. So it was really interesting. Both times people were almost offended, but then not. And then they were like, oh, that's brilliant.
Yep.
Like that's fucking real. Thank you for naming that.
That is my experience overwhelmingly all the time. I see on people's faces like, you're leaving? And then they go like, wow, she feels like she's allowed to leave.
Wait, we can just leave? And then I think to myself,
you can just leave. You're allowed.
We can have agency.
That one where you're like at a bar with lady friends and it's like, okay, I'm tired, guys. Have a great night. And like, they're just eating their meal still. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, we did chit chat. We did drinks. I ate food. I paid for my food. I'm all set. It was great to hang with you. If I stay longer, I'm going to hate this night.
Right.
If I leave. Yeah.
If I stay another half hour, then this becomes shitty.
Yep.
So why don't I go now while it's still joy?
There you go.
If you can be not offended by my departure, then everybody's happy.
And sometimes people will just be offended by your departure.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's okay.
Because that's about them.
Yeah.
I know.
Oof.
I know. Life is complicated.
I do recommend everyone go listen to that episode. It's one of the most more recent episodes of All That and Mo. It's like a 20-minute rant, basically. It's a great rant.
I so love the name of that podcast. It's so good. I wish we had a name pun.
I want to say that when Mo first was 2-3 years ago, both Rami and I were like, to Rami's credit, more Rami was like, Mo, you should have a podcast. Whatever it is, you should just have one. And then one time Rami and I were hanging out and I uttered a phrase and I immediately had to message Mo and say like, I know the name of your podcast because I knew it would be similar to what it is now, which is like her just talking about the world and that she lives in and how she navigates it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be advice because that's who she is. And mine was, the struggle is real, Mo. Because people say the struggle is real, yo, is the line, is the way people say that. It's a little subtler of a,
yeah,
of a pun. But I was so excited about that name. Because I could hear her saying, the struggle is real, yo. And I was like, the struggle is real, Mo.
That's fun.
But I have to explain it, so it's not that good a pot.
No, totally. That's how I feel about the law offices of Brown, Rubin, and Shaw. I think it's so funny and clever, but like, when you have to tell Sam over and over that it's funny and clever, it's just not for everybody. It is for me. I did tell a bunch of people the other day at improv rehearsal, or no, at that jam I was at, which by the way, I had improv rehearsal last night. I can tell you about that.
Yeah, we want to talk about that. Yeah.
But they loved it. They were like, oh, it's hilarious. They organically laughed. They thought it was so funny. Maybe it's an East Coast thing. Maybe I was ahead of my time moving back east. Maybe everybody gets into league.
Are you going to name a troupe the Law Offices of Brown, Rubin, and Shaw that doesn't have me or Sam in it?
Aw, no.
That's a meta moment.
Meta moment. I could never do that. That would break my heart. Break my heart. I really wish you guys could come back and just do a show.
So you're in an improv troupe now.
Yeah. Look at that.
When are you performing with them?
Friday.
What?
I know, it's dumb. It's too fast. But it's fun. It's fun. I have my own solo show Saturday. By the way, if you're in the Beacon, New York area, come see Weird, Wild, and Wise June 4th, Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Howland Cultural Center. Or come the night before to the same place and see me do improv with a bunch of people I just met yesterday.
What's...
We met a time.
Are you guys doing like short form, mixed, long, games?
I think it's, they were, I don't, a little bit weirdly not specific. He was like, we'll do 2 30-minute sets. And I was like, of what? And he was like, you know, we'll take a suggestion. So it's going to be Harold-y. And
okay, so more just like long form montage-y.
I think so.
Sounds like 2 30-minute montages with an intermission in between or something.
Something.
Fair enough.
That's the deal. Yep. And then, yeah, but I'll tell you what. Here was the best part of the whole thing. Just laughing a lot with other funny people. Fuck, that was a relief and a blast and a fun time. And I'll do whatever they want me to do just to get to do more of that. You know what I mean? Just the hang with creative people that are actually funny and smart.
Yeah.
God damn it, that was fun. I have missed that.
Yeah.
So that was really good. And I liked it.
Nice. Any connection to spirituality that you can draw from that experience? Or human well-being or the wellness journey?
Actually, yeah. I mean, in the sense that, I actually have quite a deep idea about this, but I'm trying to find words to explain it. There's a few things.
Maybe you could just utter sounds, just like, is it, yeah.
That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah. You said it best.
That's all right. You can say it in words now.
So there was a Kundalini yoga teacher I worked with for a while who
did not see that coming.
Who said, the higher you go in your vibrational frequency, the stronger the lower self becomes as well, because the lower self gets purified and activated. Meaning, so like, it used to be that my lower self, anger, fear, sadness, doubt, all of it was so scary to me and like was a forbidden playground in my body because it was covered in all this pain and trauma and darkness. So it was like all that. But then after all the years of shadow work and integrating that lower self stuff and then bringing light to it, it's like you become someone who can have a boundary, get angry and be okay with anger, feel sadness and understand it's going to pass. Like people think spiritual healing is going to lead you to have no anger or to never be sad or to just be light and wind. And that's why we hate people who talk like this when they're spiritual, because it's not an integrated place to speak from. Integration includes the lower self, and that includes fear and doubt and anger and sadness and sorrow and all of it, anxiety, it's in there. So like stand-up comedy remains like one of my favorite ways to embody the lower self. And improv, I feel like, is this really sweet middle ground place where
right.
The higher self is involved because you have to be like really open and you have to be yes-anding everything, which is very higher self and whatever. But it's also you're going for laughs sometimes, which is you need the cut and the edge and the anger and the judgment of the lower self to like bring in the funny sometimes. And then they have to meet in the center of you at the heart in order for it to be a collaboration with all the people. You're not doing it alone.
Right.
So it's like higher self, lower self, they meet in the heart and you connect with the people in front of you. And it's very integrated experience when it's going well.
Oh, I appreciate that framing of the integrated experience because of like how we learn improv and how we teach it. Like when we're first like teaching beginners, we are teaching them to actually get away from all that lower self shit because that's the short circuiting stuff that tends to, you know, don't just go for the punchline. Yes, and don't just muscle your idea. So we actually teach them, you know, you could never say the word no, you know, which is
right.
And we know that once we get past a certain point, we delete that rule. You know, you get, oh, of course you say no. Of course you land a punchline here and there, you know, but you can't, but you have to teach them the higher self.
Yeah.
Because most people are already have got plenty of lower self shit going on all the time.
Yeah.
So you say, set that aside for a little while. But we don't tell them set it aside. We just say, no, you go for higher self stuff and work together and support your blah, blah, blah. And yes, and flow and
make offers
and yes, receive. And then you get to a certain point where you can start to say, okay, now we're going to put that stuff back together and start to integrate that, you know, yeah, of course you're going to fucking make a fart joke. Of course you're going to deny someone's reality for a comedy bit because it's actually not a denial ultimately because it's fucking funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can like move a scene forward while saying no.
Right.
If you know how to do that.
Right.
But at the beginning, you don't know how to do that. And you're just throwing a no out that kills the scene. And we don't want that.
Yeah. And I think that's a good parallel to sort of a spiritual journey too. It's like you probably when you first really launch in a hardcore, like I'm going spirit, you do kind of like, you go wispy and wind and
a million percent. I did
air and yeah. And then you go like, oh, I miss that. I miss myself.
There's this lie that like your higher self is better when really your higher self is useful for what your higher self is useful for. And I think we want to pull the lower self through the energies of the higher self, but that doesn't mean you don't have a lower self and you're supposed to abandon your lower self. Like that doesn't work. But for me, with the kind of trauma I had and the amount of trauma I had to go really, really high, high, high for a long time just to treat how heavy and dense the low energies were. And so, but then there came this point where it was clear that like what really needed to happen next after that was like, oh, wait, we have to reintegrate now. Like, what is it to be this human being? The human being, not the like wind aspect of the human being. Hey, I'm so sorry, but now I have to pee. I feel like I've stopped us 90 times today.
No, just once, and you have to pee. That's reality. Go, do it.
Okay. It's like so much bladder fullness. I'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Rami here. Oh, God. Okay, I was thinking about this show I did a few years ago. Did you like the way I started that? I was thinking about a play I was in a few years ago in which I felt like the other actors didn't really like me. I was not popular amongst the cast and it really hurt. It brings up childhood stuff, as I'm sure it does for all of us. And the result was that I ended up getting to know a lot of other people that weren't the actors, people that I might not have really noticed otherwise, like the person who operates the soundboard and the light board and other crew members. And sometimes in a big theater, you cannot really, as an actor, you cannot really like interact with those people at all or very much at all or not even sure who they are sometimes. Anyway, so I became friends with a bunch of cool crew folks and it was great. And, had I been more popular with the actors, then I probably would have been too busy to have considered other people. But there's something about, feeling like I wasn't considered. That made me more aware of that sensation. It made me more aware of how it hurts to not feel considered. And then that made me go, I want to be considered. I want to be seen. I am going to make sure that I see others. You know, I'm going to make sure that I consider others. So it was like a good empathy reminder to feel like the cast didn't like me. It forced me to be a better person, I guess. Rami's rules.
Hello.
Hello.
Now I have to eat cheese.
That's the rule. If you pee, you must eat cheese.
Well, what else do we need to cover?
I don't know. Do you want to talk about anything in the recs? Any questions you want to touch on?
You know, it might be fun. We could do a 3-card spread for the listeners.
Do a 3-card Monty?
Yeah, I could open the records of our listeners.
Uh-huh. And just sort of see what's up there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, sure. We got got to, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Like, we don't really, today happens to just be a day where I'm just like, I'm actually kind of glad. It's been a heavy fucking week, and I actually don't think we got into that space, and that's okay. I'm feeling okay about that myself.
We're talking about the shooting.
Shooting and just, yeah, the world sucks as well.
What else? What other ways of suckage? Ukraine.
But Ukraine continues. And I feel like there was, you know, then the NRA had their festival, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And just like depressing sadness in a lot of places. And
how are the fires in California? What's going on with that?
I don't think we really have any right now. It's New Mexico that's on fire.
Okay. Still?
I actually don't know. I haven't checked in the last week, but it was pretty bad. It's the worst fires ever. But let's just do a, oh, wow. That was Squeezle. You put Squeezle on the screen and it sent a yawn through my body.
She's bringing light and purity and it causes the heaviness to release. Oh, to pups. Okay. Let's open the records of the group who listens to this podcast and we'll just do a quick 3-card spread and see what's going on for everybody. How about that? How about that?
Love it. Love it.
I should tell one more quick story. I had a semi-near-death experience on the boat in Connecticut.
Oh, is that all?
It wasn't actually, but kind of. So here's what happened. My friend whose pontoon boat we were on was taking me generously back to the dock to, because I had to leave before everybody else had to leave. So she's pulling the boat in and it's not going well. She's like hitting the sides and it's not, and she has to back out and start again. And there's two dudes on the side of the dock who are like, pull back out of the thing and come back in and we'll help you do it. And she's like, okay. And she's embarrassed and she's flustered and she's young. So she's like, okay, cool. So she makes this correction at this one moment when I happen to be standing up with my dog in my arms, who was already like not having a fun time on the boat. I learned that Squeezle is not a boat dog.
Okay.
And now we know that we won't take her out there again. We won't do it. So I'm holding the dog. I'm standing up and my friend floors the gas, just goes forward really fast all of a sudden from a full stop. I go flying backwards and I slam the backs of my thighs into this low gate that was the only separator between me and flipping off the back of the boat into the motor.
Oh.
And I say that because you could say, like, that's a little dramatic, Katie. I have a dear friend. Her name is Dina. She lives in Davis, California. She was up at Lake Tahoe, and she watched a woman or a man, damn it, now I don't remember, fall off a dock and get killed by a boat motor. The boat motor severed the femoral artery on that person's leg, and Dina watched it happen.
Oh, my God.
And watch the life drain out of this person.
Yeah.
Fucked, right? So there was, it's hard to describe how flimsy and small this little tiny railing was that stopped me from going over the edge of this boat, but it was flimsy and small.
Yike.
And had it not, I mean, it was really kind of terrifying. And yeah, that wasn't the best. That happened. End of story. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess. Sure.
If we're talking about the world being terrible, that was a thing.
Yeah, you dodged that one, but barely.
It's so wild to think. Like, do you ever think about how many minutes in your life you've come close to? I mean, we're just made of this like skinny, thin little layer of skin that blocks our organs from just falling all over the place.
I think about that when I'm driving on the freeway. Sometimes you're like, all I got to do is go, yoink, just twitch. I just got to twitch my shoulder once.
Yep.
And 8 people die.
Yep.
Including me.
I mean.
And we just trust that everybody that's on that road with us is maintaining as well as I am.
Exactly. Which is not that great sometimes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Hi, I see you, Squeezle. Yeah, we're talking about our experience on the boat. She's like, why do I feel stressed all of a sudden? That's why.
Brought up that fucking boat.
It was fucked up, Mom. She hid under a towel on my lap the entire time we were like in the sun and riding. She was like burying her head in my armpit and curling up in the tiniest ball she could get up and get into because she hated being on that boat. She hated the water. She hated the wind. She hated the whole thing, my widow dog.
Good to know.
So I shan't torture you again. All right. So we'll close our eyes. We'll take a few deep breaths. Into the low belly. Just allow our breath to deepen a little bit as we feel our feet on the ground. Weasel's like, yeah, I couldn't feel my feet on the ground. It was going too fast and there was no ground. It was all water. I'm a chihuahua. And as we breathe into the low belly, we'll see the little spinning foot chakras begin to spin open at the bottom center of each of our feet. Spinning open and spinning wide. And they spin so wide that eventually the entire surface area of the bottom of each foot becomes an open window, like an open plane of energy, connecting the earth to the body of us. And we just acknowledge that this connection allows the electromagnetic field of our body to communicate with the electromagnetic field of the earth below us. And we'll just watch as 500 tree roots of light begin to extend, using our imaginations, through the open window of each foot. 500 tree roots of light anchoring down into the earth through the left foot, down and in and down and in. And 500 tree roots of light anchoring into the earth through the open window of our right foot, down and in and down and in. Hundreds of miles into the earth. We'll see that group of 1,000 roots anchoring into the ground, many hundreds of miles into the planet. And we acknowledge that as those roots anchor down and in, it allows the conscious parts of ourselves, the tree of light that is the consciousness of each of us, to become bigger, taller, wider, stronger, brighter, more robust in how many leaves and branches there are growing off the top and out the sides of the tree of light that is the consciousness of us. And we'll watch a nice wide grounding cord shoot from the base of the spine to the center of the earth, foot and a half wide, shooting from the center of the tree of light that is us, our bodies, down through the root into the center of the planet. And we'll watch and feel as a river of light is given by Sophia Gaia, the soul of the earth, and flows up through the grounding cord into the base of the spine. We'll watch that river of light flood forward into each of our hip sockets, down through the quads, glutes, and hamstrings, knees, calves, shins, ankles, and feet. We'll watch a river of light flood down into every single one of those 1,000 tree roots we anchored into the earth moments ago, watching this river of light nurture, nourish, and activate every one of those tree roots of light. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know everybody who listens to this podcast in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see everybody who listens to this podcast through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me, please, to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of everybody who listens to this podcast have for everybody who listens to this podcast. And I'll go quiet for just a moment. Okay, and as we enter the Akashic Records of this group of people, I'm asking the record keepers to show me. First of all, is this the deck to use? Yes. This one? No. All right, so we'd like to see a 3-card spread for everybody who listens to the cast, something that would be useful for their week, some spiritual wisdom and insights about what's been happening in the recent past, what's happening in the present moment in their reality, and what the expected soon to come outcome is or will be. I'm just asking.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah, please.
Just because of timing, like no one's going to hear this until next Saturday. I don't know if that affects how this reading occurs.
Nah.
All right.
Yeah, because remember, it's a good question, because time, space, so different from how we experience it. So in other words, let me be more specific. When we ask, like, what's the information that's in the highest good, spiritual wisdom for the people who listen to this podcast, like, we have to kind of trust that spirit being, like, everything, everywhere, all the time, across all dimensions of time and space, you know, and keeping in mind that time and space are not linear, we just experience them that way, it knows.
And you're going to hear this on Saturday, someone else is going to hear it on Wednesday, but it'll be relevant to them when they hear it.
Exactly.
Great.
Okay, here we are, these three. Good question, though. I love that question. Oh, boy. Okay. Okay. Wowza kapowza. I thought it would be like a little lighthearted, no big deal. Hold on. Huh. Okay. Well, wish you could see these cards, but I'll show Cassidy. The recent past, we have the Into the Unknown card.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is... woman with a blindfold on, wearing a very dramatic black dress, standing on a balcony, kind of.
Yep.
And it's like she's blindfolded with black gloves on and a black party dress, and she's just walking into the unknown. That's the recent past. The present moment is the coming apart card.
Okay.
Oh. And the outcome is the heal the ouch card.
Heal the ouch. All right.
And the heal the ouch is like a little nurse... raccoon giving love to a little fox with an ice pack on his head.
Aww.
I know. And I'm asking, just check in real quick. Is this for me? No. Okay. Is this for everyone who listens? Yes. I don't know.
Is this for Cass at all? Or is it just for the general listeners?
I get a no.
Okay.
Good question. Well, okay, so let's read what Colette Baron-Reed, author and creator of this particular deck called the Enchanted Map Oracle Cards deck, has to say. In the recent past, you've stepped into the unknown. Trust, and all will be revealed. Life is an adventure, and often new opportunities will arise that you won't know how to deal with. This is one of those times. You're required to trust that this new phase... I just got an insight, by the way. We're going to do a pull for you and a pull for me after this.
Okay.
You're required to trust that this new phase will reveal wonders and miracles as you step into unknown territory. Imagine that you're not only a pathfinder, but a path maker. Whatever your inquiry, trust that you'll be safe. Stay aware as you discover new and marvelous territories and valuable treasures. Okay, this is the recent past for everybody listening. Present moment, we've got this coming apart card, which is two masks with their sort of backs to each other and two bodies, two girls curled up, hugging their knees with their backs to each other. And it's a real clear image of like, yep, those things are coming apart, not staying together. And let's see here. This is our present moment. So we've been asked to trust and drop into the unknown. Good stuff is happening. And in the present moment, now is the time to take separate paths. The coming apart card is a sign to put an end to what is no longer working for you. Has a commitment been broken? Perhaps you need to break a promise or change course because you took on more than you could handle. This is a perfect time to reassess your goals and values. Are your actions in alignment with what you believe in? Have you created a partnership that is not mutually beneficial? Separation, disillusion, and dispersion are all in focus now. If someone wishes to break away from you, don't chase the relationship out of a sense of fear. The price you'll pay will not be worth the prize. Separation brings good fortune. Yeah, it's not everybody's favorite card.
No.
Nope. But sometimes separation brings great fortune. The outcome is we're going to have to heal the ouch a little bit. Forgiveness is the healer of the soul. This is a time for great soothing of the heart, body, soul, and mind. And this is your coming around the corner future. As this card indicates that healing will be prevalent in your life now. If you feel drawn to study the healing arts, you'll be successful in developing your natural capacity to restore others to wellness. However, the message may be that you're being called to change your behaviors in order to heal the earth. Perhaps you'll switch to a cruelty-free diet, eating less meat, or perhaps you'll pay more attention to how much water or electricity you use. You're asked to be conscious of your footprint on the sacred earth and all of life, and to commit to the healing path. The Healing the Ouch card may also be an indicator of old wounds and broken bonds being mended. Reconciliations are possible now. Let bygones be bygones. So for the listener, the recent past, you were asked to step into the unknown, and you were encouraged. I forgot to say that there's a rainbow shining behind this woman who's in a blindfold. The present moment, something's breaking apart, coming apart, ending. Don't chase it out of fear. And the outcome is a little bit of healing and nurturing is going to be required. Maybe your relationship to the earth gets activated. Maybe it's time to just love and nurture thyself.
Okay.
All right, now we're asking record keepers for a 3-card spread for Cassidy Jamal Brown. And I'm just shuffling for the listener. I'm shuffling and I wait until I get a yes in my body for when to stop shuffling, because when the 3 cards on top are relevant for Cassidy Jamal Brown's journey at this time. And by the way, listeners, if you're hearing this and you're so inclined and those 3 cards resonate for you, will you email us at
allanswerspod@gmail.com?
Yeah, email us and just tell us, like, how was that 3-card spread relevant in your life?
Yeah, we'd love to just sort of share the narratives if that comes up.
Yeah. All right. So we're looking for 3 cards for the past, present, future for Cassidy Jamal Brown. Is this the deck to use? Yes. Okay. Sometimes you gotta... Oh, there we are. Okay. 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 This feels like a very Cassidy reading. All right, the recent...
Don't you tell me who I am.
Feel the feelings I have for you. Ride the wave, 2 dolphins together. It's a very positive card. Is your recent past. The present moment, we're listening. And the outcome of listening is the Wizard of Awareness. Which is the number... Which is the card number 3, which is your Enneagram type.
Yes.
Ride the wave. In Cassidy's recent past, he can maybe tell us about how this might be relevant. Right now, success is easy and effortless, directing a play. You can be assured that you're entering a time when you can ride the wave of abundance. The tide has turned and you can put your surfing skills to the test. Everything that you know, all your talents, coupled with all your hopes and dreams, will carry you forward. People and circumstances have come out of the ocean of potential and possibility to take shape in a wave of spectacular activity. Know that you are definitely...
Jesus, who doesn't want this card?
Know that you are definitely on the right path. Exclamation point.
Okay, Jesus.
Yep. That's your recent past. No big deal. Resonate at all?
Yeah, sure. I think you just called it. I mean, I've been... experiencing like a new thing and going, oh yeah, this is great. So,
well, also you just got new representation as an actor.
Yeah.
And you're directing a show that you've performed in 95 times and loving directing it.
Right.
And these things kind of were handed to you.
Yeah. All the things that have been coming to me, it sounds like it's being acknowledged, like, yeah, that's right. It's coming to you and it's good.
And the present moment, here we are. The listening card. An open heart will hear the message. When this card appears, you're being reminded that there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. Now is an occasion for listening. Pay attention not only to what is being spoken, but also to what is not being said in the moment, for the deeper message is not always obvious. Listen with your heart, not just your ears, and you'll find clarity. Receiving the listening card is a fortunate sign and ensures a greater understanding of your circumstances.
Yeah, I don't know about specifics necessarily, but like, that's not, I mean, that's been a mantra of the last 2 years, like learning to listen.
I think you're going to run into some stuff in rehearsal where you have to really hear with your heart.
Right. And that makes sense. Actually, that tracks too.
Yeah. Like what people need is actually not with the words they say, but it's with the energy they give. And you're going to run into like, oh, what does my heart say about this? As opposed to,
yeah,
what does my mind think?
Right.
Wizard of Awareness, your soul knows best. This is the outcome. Be still and observe. Mindfulness is about being observant and remaining neutral about what goes on in the world around you. This applies to the environment within you as well. If you struggle inside yourself, stepping into an observer position gives you a new, powerful perspective that neutralizes any discomfort or overexcitement. You have the capacity to see things clearly now, unencumbered by opinion or desire. Wearing the world as a loose garment requires you to adopt a sense that nothing that happens to you is personal. People come and go. Experiences evolve from one state to another in a continual shifting and change. No matter how much you want things to stay the same, the Wizard of Awareness asks you to give up your need to define or limit what you're experiencing now. It's all good. Let it be and watch the miracle unfold without any direct influence from you. You want to know what I get on that?
What?
This has to do with the shape your career is about to start taking. There's going to be some unexpected stuff like, that's not what I would have gone for, but that's cool.
Uh-huh.
Like a bunch of that.
Interesting. But I, and my task is to actually keep listening rather than forcing or causing.
Well, you're listening in the present moment and the outcome is your soul knows best, be still and observe. If you struggle inside yourself, stepping to the observer position gives you new powerful perspective and neutralizes any discomfort or overexcitement.
Oh, overexcitement.
Wearing it as a loose garment requires you to adopt a sense that nothing that happens to you is personal. People come and go, things change. Give up your need to define or limit what you're experiencing. It's all good. Let it be and watch the miracle unfold without any direct influence from you. So yes to what you said. You are right.
Can I pull up? Here's what I'd love to have happen for yours.
Yeah.
That we're going to do now. Can I pull up this text, do you think, online? Because you could pull the cards, but then I could read what the cards are. If I could find, are those words online somewhere?
Oh God, in this little book?
Yeah, what's the name of the book?
The Enchanted Map Oracle Cards.
Let me just see. I just like to read it, that's all. It would be fun if I could. Yes. Each of the cards is here, I think.
Okay, so I'm just asking Spirit, so what do you have for me to know about my reality? 3 card spread, please. Past, present, future. What's happening in my world? What do you want me to know that maybe I'm not seeing? What would be useful for me to hear, see, know, feel? Do I need to put those other cards back in the deck? No. Is this the correct deck to use? Yes. Shuffling. Waiting for the yes. So you found them, Cass, online?
I found some of them. Let's see if I can, when you pull them, let's see if I can find them all. If I can't, then this is being silly, but.
Okay.
Just give me the names of the 3 you got.
30, making a choice, is the recent past.
Okay, I got making a choice.
All right, present moment is magic prayer, 32.
Okay, and what's the third one?
The third one is come together, the 8. It's one of my magic numbers. It's my Enneagram type. I have a whole story about it on a lot of levels.
All right. So your recent past is making a choice.
Yes.
Well, you've been faced with a dilemma or a fork in the road and must make a conscious choice regarding the next right action. And just for the listener, the picture is actually of a stone road going into the clouds, and then there's a fork ahead to 2 very different looking doorways. One sort of golden and one is very purple and opens to a more different type of realm. All right, so you're faced with a dilemma or a fork in the road. You must make a conscious choice. Whatever that choice is, you must take responsibility for it. Yet you needn't be afraid. You may not have all the answers right now because the way ahead can't be known until you've embarked and traveled a few steps. I have thoughts. Trust your intuition, ask for a sign from spirit, and you will be led the right path. If you remain conscious and aware, your choice will be the right one at this time. Life is always about learning. Success lies in choosing consciously, guided by intuition and spirit. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's to do both with work stuff. I've been making a lot of efforts toward my staging business doing well. Mm-hmm. And just doing a lot of like choice making around work and where to be and, you know, what I'm doing and where I'm living and who I'm doing it with. Like a lot of choices, frankly.
Yeah. Well, and I thought of more recent, a few weeks ago or a month ago when you took the trip, but it was literally to see if you wanted to move to this place.
Yeah.
But it was, you had to, you won't know until you've embarked and traveled a few steps. You had to do the thing in order.
Right.
You had to take a few steps in order to know which path to take.
And that's precisely what's been happening with this staging business stuff. I've been like really acting as if I'm doing it and like meeting realtors and driving far away to go look at houses and doing the things and being like, oh, I'm learning about this by doing this.
Right.
It's cool. It's kind of cool. All right.
All right. Well, your present moment is magic prayer. Number 32. Looks like a sort of a fairy-like white woman with flowing gray hair spread out behind her and like a starburst behind her head, underneath her head. When you see the magic prayer card, it is a reminder that your prayers will be answered. Spirit is always waiting to help you and to heal you when you're in need. That said, the best prayer is, thy will be done through me, thy will and not mine be done.
Yeah, that's my whole MO every day, all day.
Conscious contact with your higher power is achieved through the ritual of prayer and meditation. Tell me something. Tell Katie something she don't know. Speak and listen to the divine force within the field of creation.
Wait, what? How does spirituality work?
Is that how this goes?
Start again.
This would be a good card for me to get because I actually need to be told this. Whereas Katie, you're like, yeah, I got it. Surrender your wishes and desires to spirit. You may not get what you want, but you will surely get what you need. Ugh. Your destiny awaits you. As long as you keep in conscious contact with your higher power, be assured that you are on the right path.
I mean, always good.
Anything revealed in that for you?
Well, it's always, you know, I always need the reminder of spirit has my back. I hear it as everything's happening for you, not to you. You know, you may not always get what you want, but you always get what you need. I love that one.
That one landed. Yeah, I felt that one land, and I felt like it actually didn't land for me. I felt it land for you.
It always does, that one. I know people have a hard time with that one because people really believe they should get what they want.
Of course.
I just have had too much life experience with like, yeah, but you don't. Sometimes you do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't. But you do get what you need. And sometimes what you need is a lesson in not getting what you want.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean don't want. It just means be in awareness that we are in collaboration with the divine and there is some kind of plan and it is valuable. Anyway. Outcome is come together.
Come together. It's two giraffes seeming to be kissing.
Kissing.
And there's a pelican on top of three hearts above them. And it's the number 8, which is a really interesting to correlate come together to the 8 on the Enneagram does not work in my brain.
Oh, but I can tell you how it does in mine.
Great.
Because the 8 integrates to the 2. So when an 8's doing well, it's all about love and service and giving and helping.
Gotcha.
And connecting at the heart. And so the 8 on its own is like, I do my own thing. I rebel. I challenge. But when the 8's like growing, it's like, but I do that to help you.
Right.
And you matter to me. And there's us.
Well, it's a lovely card. Love needs to be expressed. Drawing the come together card is a sign that you are on the path. So interestingly, at least two, maybe three, all three cards really were about the concept of being on the path, which not, they don't all say that.
Yeah. True. Good call.
That you are on the path to discover the nature of this emotion in all its forms of expression. Romantic, familial, unconditional, and spiritual. Don't those all have words that go with them? Agape.
Yeah, yeah. Filial, romantic, and the other one.
And don't they have like special words like agape and eros and...
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
eros.
Yeah.
There you
romantic
go.
Romantic is eros, probably.
Yeah, agape is spiritual. Filial is family.
Familial, and then unconditional is just love.
Yeah.
Maybe the broader sense. In each instance, there is another being involved. Love includes a give and take between you and a significant other, a relative, a friend, an animal, and or spirit, capital S. This card assures you that love has come calling and seeks a partner in its dance. Know that you are cherished. Like a magnet, you're attracting love into your life. This is the time for harmonious, caring partnerships.
Can I tell you something crazy about this card?
Yeah.
About 4 days ago, I was like pulling cards on the person I'm dating.
Uh-huh.
And I'm shuffling. I was like, so what do I need to know, spirit, about this person? And that card flew out of the deck onto the ground. And it was the come together card, and it was the eight. And he had just been over here and brought me a jersey from a sports team with the number eight on it, not knowing anything about my relationship to the number eight. I have like a dynamic relationship to the number eight.
But also, when did Katie want a jersey?
Never. Never. Not one time.
Jersey?
I heard it. I heard it. I heard it when you said it. This card flew out of the deck. Flew out. The only card that flew out. So it was so dramatic that I actually messaged him and was like, all right, well, I need you to know that this card just flew out and it's about you and me and we're both giraffes and we're kissing. And then here we are, again with this card. I don't know what to tell you.
Better listen.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, okay, we'll keep in touch on that. We'll talk offline, you and me.
All right, sounds like a plan. This has been good, you guys. I hope that's been useful for the listener. And, yeah.
Yeah, do you need to close the records before we sign off? All right.
Yeah, all right. I want to thank the masters, teachers, loved ones for their love and compassion. The Lords of the Records for their point of view and the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I see return all of the energy of all of the people who listen to this podcast to themselves now, please. I see return everybody who listens to the podcast to their complete human wholeness. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of everyone who listens to this podcast, you wonderful, wonderful creatures of delight, are now closed. Amen. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of everyone who listens to this podcast are now closed. Amen. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of everybody who listens to this podcast are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Shadowin Layla Illa, Shadowin Muhammad of Duhurasulullah. Allah.
Allah.
Amen.
Cool.
We did it.
We did it.
We did a thing.
Fun little episode.
We said words.
Yeah, I'm going to go direct a show. You go prepare your show.
Yep.
Everyone go see. If you listen to this Saturday at noon.
Yeah.
When it comes out, then you can hop in your car from wherever you are in the tri-state area. I don't know if it's a tri-state area.
Sure.
And drive to Beacon, New York and see Katie's show that night.
8 p.m. June 4th. It's called Weird, Wild, and Wise. It's happening at the Howland Cultural Center. Also, check out, join us on Monday. We start my 5-week OMA Pittsburgh class, which is 5 weeks of activating the light body and healing. Very affordable class. Hop on omapittsburgh.org to find out about that. That same week, my Star Beings class starts on Wednesdays, and my Writing and Alignment class starts on Thursdays. So check out katierubin.com to learn a little bit more about those. Join us. You're invited. I love you.
Love you.
Do your work.
Do your work. Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening.
We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod, @allanswerspod. Thank you.
We'll see if that stays in.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Desmond, you can just cut that last part out.